From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for being with us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once more to turn to the Word of God and let the Bible speak. Currently, we're letting the Bible speak from Colossians chapter 1, as we think of the picture of a true New Testament church. If you have been with us earlier in the week, you'll know that we have been looking at some great terms that the apostle employs to depict a true church. We'll be returning to the final part of that study, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in just a few minutes' time. But first, we start off with our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. The devotional is titled Numbered Because Ransomed, and it's taken from Numbers chapter 1, verse 2. Take ye the sum of all the congregation. The title of the book of Numbers is taken from the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and it refers to one of the outstanding events recorded in the book, the numbering of the people. At both the beginning and the end of the book, the sum of the congregation of Israel is given. The emphasis on the numbering of the people conveys various lessons to us, one of them being that the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord is aware of each one in His family. The company of the redeemed no man can number, but the Lord has a register of the entire host. Their names are, according to Revelation 13, verse 8, written in the book of life of the Lamb. Notice that this count, taken in the opening chapter of Numbers, was in accordance with specific conditions which the Lord had earlier revealed to Moses. Exodus 30 verse 12 shows that no one could be numbered among God's people unless he first paid, quotes, a ransom for his soul. It is only the ransomed who make up the true congregation of the Lord. Observe that the ransom price was fixed by the Lord. Exodus 30:13 says it's half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. The Lord Himself has set the standard for inclusion among the host who are marching onward to Zion, and He will accept no other. Christ's blood is the ransom price. The blood alone meets the divine requirements. We must neither add to nor take from the gospel, just as the Israelites were not to give more or less than the half shekel. If you are yet unsaved, you must learn that you can never be counted among the redeemed until, to use the language of Isaiah 53:10, you make His soul an offering for sin. That is, unless you make Christ your sin offering. Christ poured out His soul unto death. He gave His life a ransom for many, the life being His own precious blood, since the life of the flesh is in the blood. That is a sufficient payment for sin. Rest in it alone. Nothing else will do. And our thought for the day, Christ was numbered among sinners, that sinners might be numbered among saints.
We may
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Lord, He saves, the sight is glorious. See the Man of Sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to Him shall bow. Crown Him, crowns become the victor's crown. Crowns become the victor's crown. Crown the Savior, angels crown Him, rich the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthroned Him, while the bells of heaven rings. Crown Him, crown the Savior, King of Kings. Crown the Savior, King of Kings.
In our final study of the subject, the picture of a true New Testament church, from Colossians 1 verses 1 and 2, we again raise the question, what is the New Testament church? It's a far-reaching question, it's an important question, and the text that we have been looking at this week goes a long way to establishing the Lord's answer. The church is marked by purity, the church is marked by fidelity, and the church is marked by unity. So let's now take up the question as we finish this week of broadcasting on the true New Testament church. What is the New Testament church? It is a church marked by the unity of a people who, whatever their differences in background, whatever their differences in culture, whatever their differences in education, whatever their differences in interpretation of national or even world affairs, they are the children of God in Christ. They have a holy nearness and a holy dearness to God because they're in Christ. And they therefore have a holy nearness and a holy dearness to each other because they recognize each other as being in Christ. That's what Paul is teaching the Colossians. So here's the basic picture of a New Testament church. It's marked by three things. It's purity. It's a church of saints. Now remember, there's still saints under construction. They're not perfect, except in Christ. They're holy, but they're not sinless. They're separated unto God. They possess genuine holiness. They're not a bunch of hypocrites. They don't just have a face of holiness. They have a heart for Christ. They have a heart of holiness. But they're not perfect. But they're pure. It's a difference. The purity of the church. The fidelity of the church. It's full of faith. Because it believes the gospel, it believes this Bible, believes the truth revealed. Not because it can prove it or understand it, but because God has revealed it. And then, it's marked by unity. The faithful brethren are brethren in Christ. Here's the picture then of a New Testament church. Colossae was what we would call today a mission church, just in its infant stages. As I said, didn't even have elders and deacons. Its members were newly saved out of paganism. I'm tempted to go off on a tangent here. If the scholars are right, this church hadn't been in existence as a mission church for more than 5 or 6 years. You see what Paul's writing to it? Do you realize that in seminaries around America today, people doing MDivs can hardly understand what Paul's talking about? Where have we got to that we have become expert in every stupid subject that the devil has brought to our attention? And we don't even measure up to New Testament time babies when it comes to understanding the gospel. Paul was writing this to newly converted pagans. And he's making it clear to them. The standard for a church, a mission church, even under those conditions, it's marked by purity. And we talk today, well, you know, it's hard to take a stand for God. How often we hear people say, I wouldn't like to be a young person now because it's so different, it's so hard. You've television. Come off it. Let's stop making excuses for carnality and sin. You've television. You have ungodly university professors. You have got this, you've got that, you've got the other. Certainly you've got all those things. So what's new? Well, the television's new. These people were converted out of paganism. Their families were still back in paganism. They stood to be slaughtered
wholesale just for being a Christian. And Paul said, I'm calling for a pure church, a church that's honestly, holy, taking its stand for God. Quit the excuses for sin. Quit the excuses for backsliding. Quit the excuses for not going through with God. If you're a Christian, live like a Christian. Quit the excuses. The opening prayer, I was remembering the people around the world who are paying the price to be a Christian. In South Korea today, there's a young woman who's witnessing for Christ. What won her to Christ? Was watching a family in North Korea burned. 20th century, late 1990s. Burned. Why? Because going to do the family laundry at the river, a little girl inadvertently dropped a Bible. And for that they perished. And we have the insolent audacity to make excuses for carnal living because of the hardness of the environment in which we're called to serve. Who on earth do we think we're kidding? Church marked by purity, a church of saints. A church marked by fidelity. When President Bush lately went to the Far East, and I congratulate him on doing so, in Japan, he publicly lectured the Chinese in advance of his going there about their abominable treatment, not only generally of dissidents, but particularly of Christians. And so the day before he arrived, the Chinese government let out of prison quite a number of Christian pastors and others who were imprisoned for their faith. There are still thousands in jail, mind you. It was sort of a face-saving exercise. When I think of the pastors coming out of jail, and even while they're being held to be cleared from their jail sentence, they're still witnessing for Christ. And they come out and they said it was their privilege to suffer persecution or anything that the communists could throw at them for the honor of Jesus Christ. That's fidelity. God make us faithful. And then unity. Unity. I'm going to tell you something as we close. And keep it in your mind as we come to meet around the Lord's table, which is called the communion table. Communion is union together with Christ and with those who are in Christ. It is fellowship with Christ and with those who are in Christ. And let me make the statement. One of the easiest things in the world to do is to fracture the spirit of unity among the people of God. Any fool can do it. And many a fool does. Pride, the arrogance that I must have my say and I must have my way. Those twin pillars of pride so often get in to inflict wounds upon a local body of believers that the passage of years will not remove. Every church has a holy calling. A holy calling. A heavenly calling. Every church, this church, is called to be a true New Testament church with purity, fidelity, and unity, all centered in Christ and the revelation of God in Him. May God make us and keep us such a church for the honor and for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Father and our God, bless thy word to every heart. Lord, make us such a church as we have read of in thy word today. Give us such a ministry as Paul had, that from this place would go out the gospel. When we think of Paul preaching in that one city, and then the whole province being touched as people were saved and carried the gospel hither and yon. Oh Lord, we would love to see that repeated. Lord, we thank thee for something that's so obviously the program of the Holy Ghost, and not just the program worked up by man. We'd love to see this, O God, where people here are touched by the gospel, and from this place would go out a stream of men to carry Christ's truth to the ends of the earth. Lord, bless thy word and work, we pray. We ask thee, Lord, make us like the church that Paul is describing. Lord, mark us as saints. Mark us, we pray, as faithful. Mark us as brethren in Christ. O God, we commend the work and witness of this church to thee, and pray that thou wilt richly bless it. Now, Lord, as we come into thy presence, we pray that thou wilt bless those who travel. Grant journeying mercies, and in the will of God, bring us back this evening to meet around thy gracious word and gospel. Remember those who meet around the table. Oh, that today the heavens indeed may be opened. Oh, that today we may meet with Christ. Lord, show us more of the glories of our Redeemer, and grant that today, eating and drinking at the Lord's table, our faith may indeed be stimulated and strengthened to lay hold of Christ and go forth in truth, feasting by faith on Him. Hear our prayer. We ask these things, giving thee thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.